personhood or whatever. So that's the virus in my flesh, the law of sin, crying out for attention. And in that moment, I remember, I'm in Christ. What does that mean? One, that means because I'm in Christ, I died to that. That's not me. That's a deception. And I just thank Him that because I'm in Christ, those aren't His feelings. I just thank Him for His victory. You with me? So instead of giving in and entertaining those, you know, you ever done that? Entertaining that thing and then entertaining conversations that you'd like to have with them that you wish you had said and you didn't say? I mean, I know none of you ever do that. But that's the old flesh. That's the flesh. That's the virus. But when you stop and just go, hey, look, I'm in Christ, what I'm simply saying is, you know what? That thing that happened was part of your story, and didn't mean that they were living out your story, but it was my part of my story. It's part of the drama. You know, you're the director of the story. You're the main actor of the story. You're doing all this stuff, and it's just practical living, and I just thank you that you're my victory over these stupid feelings, because you don't feel like that, and therefore I don't feel that way. You really like that person and love them. You don't like what they do, but wow. Or somebody does, and you just get offended. How many of us get offended hearts, and we think that's an excuse to be transparent? I love that one. No, it gives you an excuse to be ornery. That's the virus. I didn't see Jesus walking around with his feelings hurt and offended all the time. He cleansed the temple. That's a different thing. Because that's the flesh. That's the law of sin in the flesh. That's the virus robbing you of the joy unspeakable, full of glory, and the peace that passes understanding that are yours in Christ. Jesus doesn't walk around complaining all the time. He doesn't walk around offended all the time, doesn't walk around complaining all the time. It didn't matter to Jesus if he was speaking to thousands on the Sermon on the Mount or he was ministering to one poor woman in the middle of the day who was half Jew, half Samaritan. He's supposed to have nothing to do with him as a Jew. And she's been married 5 times and now living with a guy. And she's getting water in the middle of the day because nobody else gets water in the middle of the day because she goes there because nobody will be around to talk about her, to reject her. And Jesus' story, he's got thousands following him at this point. He's still really popular at this point. And the Lord said, let's go talk to one woman that nobody else wants anything to do with. Huh? What logic is that? I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. He shows up. And the Father shows out. And he speaks things into her life and reveals her heart and said, I've come to give you living water. And lo and behold, she was a true worshiper because that's what Father was looking for, who would worship him in spirit and truth. And he found that in her because the Father knew that, right? And this one woman has an encounter with the Lord and radically is transformed. And this one woman who was so immoral that nobody in the village wanted anything to do with her, she goes back into the village and tells him about this person who died for the world but lived for the one. It changed her life, and the whole city came into revival. Or Paul, I mean, John, I'm sorry. John, in Acts chapter 9, verse 32, now it came about that as Peter was traveling through all those parts, he came down to the saints who lived at Lydda. And there he found a certain man. See, when you're in Christ, they're all the certain man, the certain woman. It's not a coincidence. You've been sent. Remember we talked about that this last hour. I'm in Christ. Christ was sent in the Father. He never thought he just showed up accidentally. He was in the Father. The Father was telling the story, and the Father's story always has a purpose. And when you understand that, you keep your eyes open. And he would sniff out demonic oppression and he could do something about it because he drew from the resources of the Father. And so there's always a certain, it's not just a happenstance, that's the cashier. It's a certain cashier. It's a certain guy. It's a certain person. My life has destiny. Every minute is pregnant with destiny because I'm in Christ. He's telling his story. Now, sometimes that story is like what Livy and I, last night, I went home and watched From Here to Eternity. I was in Christ. It was just a spiritual, just praying for somebody to get healed. Because it's him. And we have conversations. That's part of being, I'm just abiding, living. And then Livia may say, would you mind getting up and get me some water? And so the virus might be speaking, I'm really tired. You know, if you transfer it over to that electric chair, you can move faster than I can. The water's just down the hall. No. I remember that I'm in Christ as part of his story. And in saying that, I'm saying yes to all the resources. To his peace, his love, his joy. I'm just saying, thank you, Lord, that she's asked me to go get water. So I get up and go get water. And I minister Christ to her by going and getting water. Instead of demanding my story, I minister junk to her. I mean, it's that way. It's lived out every day, right? Somebody does something that you don't think is the right way they should do it because you like to do things certain ways. And you see the next person and you're irritated because they didn't do it that way or didn't show you enough attention or didn't seem to appreciate you. And so the next person you come in contact with you like, you start yakking about that person, how you feel. You just feel rejected. And then it's, wah, wah, wah. That's the virus. You know? And if you don't take the antidote, the virus will show up. The antidote's abiding in Christ. He keeps the virus down until I get a new body and the virus is not there anymore. As long as I'm looking to him, that which can't float, floats. Peter walked on water because he kept his eyes on Jesus. That's not natural. It's supernatural. But the moment he listened to the virus and he began to pay attention to the wind and the storm, it says he saw the wind. How can you see wind? You can see waves. That's anxiety. We begin to see what we think is going to come. I hate to break it to you, but he sees the end from the beginning. Don't worry about it. It's his story. Just walk it out one step at a time, and he'll shock you at how good his story is. He'll actually cause all things to work together for good. Just give him time and space. Stop rising up, because this is the virus. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You'll get there when he wants to be there. It's his story, not your story. So when you're tempted to be critical and complain because you got your feelings hurt, or you felt like you got left out, or you got what, yada, yada, you know that's the virus. That's not Christ. Take your meds. Remember, I'm in Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You don't feel this way about that, so I don't either. Thank you for being my victory. Thank you that part of your story is this person didn't pay attention to me or give me enough to do or do whatever or hurt my feelings. And that's their issue with you, Lord. But your story involved that because I'm in glory training. As I abide, you're manifested and you're manifested with me in glory. So thanks, I'm in Christ. That didn't just happen. I'm in Christ. You with me? He's navigating his story through me among lost people or among saved people who also have the virus. And sometimes they're not taking their meds. Here's John in Lydda. He meets this certain man. He's been bedridden for 8 years because he's paralyzed. And Peter looks at him and says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. What? Well, see, Christ was his life. He was in Christ. It didn't matter whether he had a healing ministry or healing anointing or never done a conference. He was in Christ. Christ is the healer. He's the same healer in every believer. He just looked at him. He didn't use the formula in Jesus' name because it means the same thing. To say something in Jesus' name is simply to say, I'm here in him and him in me. And so as if it were him here. I'm not here to represent him. I'm here to represent him. I'm the body through which he lives. And I'm here in Jesus' name. I'm here invoking his presence, his power in me, through me. Aeneas, Jesus Christ healed you. Take up your bed. And immediately he arose. And all who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him. And they all turned to the Lord. Wow. Because of one man abiding in Christ. One incident. Just one. And again, you're in some circumstance, somebody's hurt you or disappointed you, and you're there, and you're frustrated, the frustration, the feelings are rising up. Remember this, the anger of man never accomplishes the righteousness of God. Volume doesn't turn a heart or bring an anointing. It's the truth that sets people free, not noise. And so in that situation, and you're going to, and so you're in Christ, you're like, oh, I'm in Christ. Whoop, this is heartbreaking. This is disappointing. I'm in Christ. So, Lord, your own thanks. And as you appeal to them and give them the glorious truth that makes so much sense, and you know it's going to change their heart, and they just come back again with this. And you can't, and then the virus is like going, see, just let them have it. No, remember, I'm in Christ. This isn't Christ, but I'm in Christ. And he's allowed the story. Sometimes I'm standing in front of somebody who's sick because he wants me to pray for him. Somebody, I'm standing in front of somebody who's in sin. And he wants them to encounter Christ. This is my opportunity to encounter Christ. And it says again, for you have died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, when Christ is your life, you'll be manifested with him. When Christ, who is your life, is manifested, you'll be manifested with him in glory. Instead of getting ticked off, instead of getting frustrated, instead of whatever, it may be even heartbreaking, you can live in the realm of glory there because you're just remembering, I'm in Christ. This is your story, and I'm resting in your adequacy. Thanks. You know, it says something about thanks. It says in Ephesians 5:20, give thanks, and the language there always, give thanks for all things. What? What? There's a big thing out there in the body of Christ among charismatics that we just want to be so consumed with the devil. Can the devil bring stuff into a Christian's life? Yep, but that Christian's still in Christ. That's still the great reality. That better be your first consciousness. Then you can kick the devil's booty in Christ. He's a lot scarier of you than you should ever be of him. You're in Christ. He's dealing with Christ. And so even if it's intense warfare that way and something happens like that and you remember that you're in Christ and you thank him for all things because I'm in Christ. Now, am I thanking him that something evil is happening? I'm just thanking him for the story he's telling. His story. He doesn't run from darkness. He runs into darkness all the time because we're light in the Lord. You know that? So you'll find him running in the darkness a lot because he wants to dispel the darkness. But don't get consumed that the darkness is the great reality. Remember, they're in Christ. When we first find this thing out about Olivia, this mass, the first thing, she's in Christ. Now, you do stuff. Is there concern? Is all that? Yeah, but you can't give in to fear and frustration. She's in Christ. Now, is there warfare? Yeah, but I can't do any warfare if I don't remember I'm in Christ. You with me? Because I don't remember I'm in Christ. I would depend on a lot of formulas and all kind of stuff, gyrations and superstition, Christian superstition. Instead, because I'm in Christ, I'm now in union with him. How do you feel about this, Jesus? He said, well, I just kind of like to tell it, boo. I thought, okay. boo. Let me show you this. Is this helping? CTK, or is this should be helping you? Because it said that Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, went out and raised the dead. No. He did what? He washed disciples' feet who were going to betray him. It wasn't just Judas. Every one of them left him at the cross. John came back, but he left too. Knowing that the Father had given everything into his hands, he cooked eggs for his wife at 10 o'clock at night. He fetched water. He went and got cookies. He helped. You with me? But every once in a while, you show up with somebody who's sick and same thing, you're in Christ. And so you're simply remembering that it's his story and you're living by his adequacy. You're not going, I'm in Christ, walking down the hall going, I can't believe she asked me to go get her cookies at 2:30. That's not the deal. The scripture says we're delight to do his will, to joyfully abide, restfully trust in his adequacy to walk out his story. It's not me, I'm in him. It's his story, and he's going to handle his story the way he always handled his story, but he's now got a different body through which to do it. And if you get confused and you start, this virus starts rising up, just ask the question, Lord, how do you feel about this? You go, I'm really good with this. I'm going, okay, I guess I'm really good with it too. Because I have no other story and I have no other life but yours. I'm crucified with Christ and I no longer live. The one that lives now is the Christ in me. There's a me, there's Christ, but that union, that's the new Chuck. In Acts, well, let me do this first. Read this and then we'll finish. In trying to figure out like what kind of sermon, what lessons I'm supposed to do, what place in the Bible, I just thought it would help just to use a bunch of examples. And I remember when I used to go to conferences years ago and I was first learning all this, I wanted them to cut to the chase. Show me how this functions in daily life. Giving thanks for all things. And then 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice the Lord always, pray without ceasing, and in all things give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Thanking him for the situation, because I'm in Christ, it's his story. And then thanking him in the situation that he's more than adequate for the story he's telling. Amen. So here's 2 Corinthians. Some people say 2, some people say 3. I'm pretty convinced that Paul made 3 different visits to Troas. So one visit to Troas is recorded in Acts chapter 16. And that's when he shows up in Troas. I think it's probably the second time he shows up in Troas. And the first night he's there, he has this dream and there's this man from Macedonia in a vision saying, come to Macedonia. So he had to pack his bag that morning and leave because God said, come to Macedonia. He didn't stay in Troas. Here, he's waiting to meet Titus. He longs to see Titus. Titus is going to bring him news as to whether the Corinthians had repented of swimming around in the virus. And so he's there. Titus is coming from this place over in the Middle East. Paul's kind of traveling here. He's hoping to meet up with him in every city. But he says in verse 12 of chapter 2, now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, that's why he came, a door was opened for me in the Lord. Well, there you go. That settles it, right? I came to preach the gospel and the Lord opened the door for that to happen. Been here once before, spent one night, didn't work out. Here I am. Next thing he says, but I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus, my brother, but taking leave of them, I went on to Macedonia again. Well, the question again, we talked about this the other day, but here's the question. Did he get it right? Did he get it wrong? Because this practical part thing about living in Christ, if you're doing something that you know that's God's will, not God's will, you don't need to ask this question. You with me? So if you know you're doing something that's clearly not God's will, this isn't for you. I mean, if you're willing to take that risk, to go down that route, you want your story more than God's story, then you go for it and you live with all the bang and joy and wonder that's going to come with that story. And there's going to be this hiss of the demonic the whole time. There'll be no favor. There'll be no, go for that. But if your heart is yielded, but sometimes it just seems get confusing. I thought we were going to go. This didn't turn out. I came here for the gospel. God opened the door. Then I didn't have any rest in my spirit because Titus wasn't there. And so I left. Did I blow it? Did I not blow it? You ever done that? I don't know. I was trying to seek the Lord. I wanted to do God's will. But I did this, and it didn't seem to turn out okay. And so we judge whether or not we really were abiding because it didn't turn out okay. So that's got to be proof it wasn't God. But I was going with, and it kind of was not sure, and I... Paul goes and he says, in light of that, he says, but, and I love this about Paul, he's so confident about Christ and Christ being his life and Christ knowing how to work with all that in our humanity. But thanks be to God who always, always, always leads us in his triumph in Christ. And manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Wow. Because I'm in Christ, and as much as I know how, this is when you're trying sometimes to discern God's will about a direction or whatever, much as I know how, I went after it, you know, but there were options, this is what I knew to do. But now you look back, you go, what if I missed it? What if I didn't miss it? It's not that easy to miss it if your heart is yielded. Paul said, but thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph. What might be looking like your failure because it didn't turn out right could very well be his triumph. Just give it time and space. Who always leads us in his triumph in Christ. Because you're in Christ. It's the coolest life in the world. And here's the neat thing. This will be it. So it's been like 3-4 years later. Twice he's snubbed the people in Troas. In chapter 20. He's traveling. Again, he goes to Macedonia. He spends 3 months there. There was a plot formed against him. He left. But he had all his crew with him, names all the names of the people. And in verse 5 it says, but these had gone on ahead and were waiting for him in Troas. And when we sailed from Philippi after the days of the unleavened bread and came to them at Troas, within 5 days and stayed there 7 days. And on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together, we took bread. And Paul began talking to them, intending to depart the next day, but he prolonged his message until midnight. And there were, makes me feel better. And there were many lamps in the upper room. They were gathered. There was a certain young man named Eutychus sitting in the windowsill, sinking into a deep sleep. And Paul kept on talking, and he was overcome by sleep, and he fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. Now, if I was Paul, you know, maybe what we would do, forgetting that we're in Christ, and the virus deceiving us, go, good Lord. This is proof I missed it. Those years ago, I could have stayed there in Troas, done the thing I was supposed to do in Troas, but now I didn't go when I was supposed to go. I made a mistake. Here I am. Preached too long, the boy's dead. And if I'd have preached years ago, the boy wouldn't be dead. But Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, "Don't be troubled, for his life is in him." And he was raised from the dead. You know the story was? What Paul said back then, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him every place." And just trust God with his story. It'll all work its way out. There's a synergy to it all. If Paul had done that when he stayed years before, he probably wouldn't have made this visit, and they wouldn't have seen a boy get raised from the dead. That's part of abiding. Something doesn't work out. You thought you made the right decision, but maybe you made the wrong decision, but you were sincerely trying to seek the Lord. Get over it. Thanks be to God who always leads you in triumph in Christ and manifests the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him every place, and in synergy, things are connected in time. You'll see his story will manifest itself in glory. It will. Don't listen to the demonic virus. It's telling you, you blew it. And therefore, forever it's blown. No, Lord knew exactly what he was doing. Well, which one was it? Was he supposed to stay or not go? I don't know. Who cares? He always leads us in his triumph in Christ. That's a mystery. Doesn't make sense to Westerners. But that's the joy and wonder of now participating in his life. You see? Weird emotions show up in you. You had issues with emotional stuff before. Let me break it to you. That person, the emotional wreck, died. And you are now partaking in and participating in and in union with the emotional life of Jesus. So what do I do when those emotions show up? Boo. That person died. Don't come into agreement with it. Thank him that you're in union with him and his emotional life. The fallen person and his entire personality was crucified. And you're now in union with Christ and his. Amen? All right, there's so much more, but I think that's helpful. Being a Christian is the coolest thing in the world. Because if you like to read the scriptures and see the life that Jesus lived, and you think, that is fascinating. That's the fascinating life Jesus Christ has come to live in and through you. That's what makes you a Christian. Just get out of the way and let him do it. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.